second shot got him in the neck. He fell to the floor, the blood pooling on the rug that lined the hallway. A boom filled the room. The table exploded, spraying us with splinters. Sheriff Brady stood on the landing of the second floor, holding a shotgun. Scarlet returned fire with her twin pistols, just as I fired with my own gun. Each of our bullets found his fat stomach. He teetered for a moment, and then his weight crashed into the wooden banister. The railing broke apart, and the fat man that helped to take my husband's life fell over the edge. He hit the floor of the foyer with a sickening thud. We dashed up the stairs, Scarlet taking the stairs two at a time. I followed behind her, quickly loading two more bullets into my pistol. Another hallway was on the second floor. All the doors were open except for the one at the end of the hall. There were no signs of anyone else. Scarlet cautiously crept down the hall, her eyes watching for any more of Mason's men in any of the rooms. I followed behind her, my eyes on the closed door at the end of the hall. My children had to be behind that door. Scarlet kicked the door open. The room was a study, with a huge desk at the far end of the room in front of a large window. Books lined the shelves of the wood-paneled room. Little Shannon was gagged and bound in a chair next to the desk, her face wet with tears of terror. Reginald Mason stood behind the desk, clutching my son in front of him, a pistol pointed at the door. He fired twice. One of the bullets hit the wood of the door, the other hit Scarlet in the shoulder. She let out a shriek of pain and fell to the floor as she fired her guns. I gave a quick, silent prayer to the Lord and fired my own gun. The bullets caught him in the chest and he stumbled backwards. The hand that clutched William let him go as Mason fell back against the large window behind him. The glass shattered as Reginald Mason fell through it, falling out into the night. I heard his body hit the ground a moment later. As I walked over to the barn, I saw that Scarlet was closing her saddlebag. Her arm was still in a sling. "Will you be able to ride your horse with your arm like that?" I asked her. She smiled at me and nodded. "I've ridden with worse," she told me in her southern accent. "You're welcome to stay until it's healed," I told her. "I know. I can't. I got a telegraph this morning. Someone else needs my help." She took a step closer to me and gave me a soft kiss on the lips. I returned the kiss, silently telling her how much I would miss her, how much she meant to me and to my children. She parted from my lips, the sorrow evident in her eyes. I could tell she was tempted to stay with me, but I knew this was not the life for her. Living on a ranch, tending to the cattle, I knew that she needed to be free, free to help people in need, free to fight the Reginald Masons and Sheriff Bradys of the West. And as she galloped away on her chestnut mare, I knew I would never see her again. The End. This has been The Cattle Rancher's Widow, A Scarlet Sierra Story, by R. Scott. Narrated by Jean Gray. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. No part of this work may be reproduced for distribution by any means, physical, mechanical, or electronic, without the explicit written permission of the copyright holder.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.